According to the website of the Secretary of State of Missouri, or Missouri, I will not take a position on this hotly debated matter of pronunciation and will remain agnostic in this debate. Missouri is called the Show Me State, most likely thanks to comments offered by Congressman Willard Duncan Vandiver, who served in the U.S. House of Representatives in the late 19th century. At a banquet in Philadelphia, he said, "I come from a state that raises corn and cotton and cockleburs and Democrats, and thawdy eloquence neither convinces nor satisfies me. I am from Missouri. You have got to show me." People, according to the congressman from his state, wanted evidence. They wanted proof. They weren't going to be swayed by pretty words. Show me. Now, churches don't have license plates. But I suspect if they did, whether Protestant or Catholic or Evangelical or Pentecostal or Orthodox, many of them would have tags sporting the motto of Missouri. We are the Show Me State. We want some proof. Oh yes, we can talk about God and what God does, but show me. Maybe a nice miracle. Now, this strain, this impulse to have something we can hold on to goes right back to the beginning of our Christian story. We all remember Thomas, right? Doubting Thomas, who even after the resurrection had to touch Jesus to have some proof. So yeah, maybe a miracle will be good. Maybe some parting of the seas or the sun standing still in the sky. Maybe a dead person being raised back to life. Of course, given our state of scientific knowledge and the way we can manipulate images through the movies, who knows what kind of miracle we moderns would need to be truly convinced. But maybe we're not looking for some kind of manifestation of a change in the physical world. Instead, maybe we want to study the text, and we can pick it apart as scholars have been doing for more than 200 years. We can, as the academics say, interrogate the Bible, figure out who wrote what, when, and in doing so, convince ourselves that what we're reading is true. Maybe we prefer the path of the archaeologist going off to the Holy Land or Mesopotamia. We can go on digs, root through ruins, find artifacts with inscriptions that attest to the events of the Bible, and help us feel comfortable that these things took place within what we know as reality and history. Whether looking for a miracle, whether accepting scriptural analysis, whether joining with archaeologists, all of these impulses share something in common. And that is that we are setting the terms for belief. We're saying to God, "We'll accept your word as long as you give us some proof, as long as you show me." This is pretty remarkable indeed. It is cheeky when you think about it. Here we are, the created, saying to the Creator, "We'll believe as long as you do this." But even more remarkable is that God is willing to work with this attitude. This is what we see being attested to in the letter to the Hebrews. The author was writing to a besieged community, a group of Christians who felt set upon, persecuted, scorned, and mocked, who were wavering in their faith, who were wondering, is it worth the trouble? Maybe we should go back to the old ways. Maybe we should do what everyone else in society does. But the author said, no. Hang in there. Let's talk a little bit about faith. And so he said, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And then having set out this concept, he begins to respond to that show me impulse, taking that community through the history of God's people, right from the very beginning. And in today's reading, we focus on the story of Abraham and Sarah. There they were, right in the middle of civilization, at its heart, with everything they could possibly want, except no children, and in a sense, no sense of being, no sense of belonging. God responded to that desire and called Abraham and called Sarah to go to a new place, to the frontier. And they went. Now, things didn't quite unfold the way they expected when they got there. They still didn't have any children. They still didn't have any land or future. But God had made a promise. If you go, you will have offspring as numerous as the stars, and you will take possession of the land. And then something wondrous happened. The heir appeared. Now, when Abraham and Sarah died, the only part of the land they possessed was a tomb. But they had that heir. And they knew. They knew through experience that God had kept his promise. And he would continue to do so, perhaps in ways they could not quite predict or understand. But they lived into that promise. And Isaac did, and Jacob did, and Joseph did, and men and women throughout the ages have done so too. The response to faith by God isn't to just give us one single instance that we might hold on to, but is to offer us a way of living, of thinking, of seeing reality, of having hope for the future, and believing in the possibility of redemption and transformation. This isn't the empty hope of buying the lottery ticket and hoping that we will be that one in 175 million chance that hits it big. This is a conviction, a sure knowledge that somehow, some way, God is going to come through. Now, there's another potential explanation for where the show me state came from. This is also from the Secretary of State. In some ways, it's not as flattering to the people of Missouri as the congressman's story, which has a bunch of sharp-eyed, clever people who aren't going to be gulled, who aren't chumps. Instead, supposedly back in Leadville, Colorado, there was a mine. And workers were recruited to work out there. And an exceptionally dim-witted group of people showed up. You couldn't just tell them what to do. You had to show them over and over again. And so finally, people thought, whenever they came across somebody who wasn't getting, would say, oh, he's from Missouri, you'll have to show him. Now, I think that we in the church can be like those Missouri miners. And God recognizes that. But God doesn't look down upon us or sneer at us. Instead, God patiently shows us over and over again through Scripture, through the saints of yore, through people we know, experiences we have, and through the presence of the living Christ. Oh, God does indeed show us, and most powerfully in Jesus. Remember, in Jesus, God came to us to teach us and to heal us, to stand with us, to love us, to know what we know, to experience what we experience. And what more powerful testimony to an understanding of the disappointments and frustrations and pain life can offer can we see than Jesus on the cross? God knows our pain. God knows our disappointment. God knows what it feels like to be bereft and without hope. There is Jesus' cry on the cross. Why, oh why, have you forsaken me? And in that moment, the space for doubts and questions and a desire for proof is opened up. Because God wants to engage in a relationship with us. Yes, faith originates with God because God creates the reality and the hope and the possibility we can believe in. Faith isn't something we just concoct out of nowhere. It's not like the Easter Bunny or the Tooth Fairy. No. Faith is something that God offers to us, and then we can respond to it. And we can do so. Sometimes with assurance and sometimes tentatively. Show me, we say. And God says, of course. All you have to do is look. All you have to do is have faith. Just like Abraham, just like Sarah. And maybe the road will be a little bumpy. But God assures us that he will always be with us. That we will never be alone. And that's why we, with confidence, can say the words that the author of Hebrews shared with the church long ago. That faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things unseen. Thanks be to God.